You guys are so awesome to be here this morning, knowing that the rest of the world is moaning and whining because they're thinking that they lost an hour of sleep, and it all really depends on how they prioritize things. They basically took that hour and did it while they were sleeping because somebody told them they needed to do it 3 o'clock in the morning. But basically, you know, you did what you wanted to do for that hour that you stayed up, even though you knew that time was changing, right? So who is it on? It's on us, right? I ask you this. Have you ever been watching that TV show at night and you knew you needed to go to sleep and you said, I need to cut this off or I need to turn this because I know I need to go to sleep? Raise your hand if you've ever done that. Everybody, right? So you were telling yourself that because you knew you needed to go to sleep, but you couldn't go to sleep if you had something that was interesting you, right? So let me change my interest so that I can prioritize my sleep. Well, that's not what a lot of people did last night. And so in a segue to that, I want to talk about this story in the Bible, this actual account that Jesus gave, and it happened while people were sleeping. Now, if you're one of those sleepers in church this morning, and we happen to use the phrase wake up at a certain particular time, then it's going to startle you, okay? I want you to be prepared. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. I just want you to be on edge, okay? All right, how many people have your Bible this morning? If you have your Bible, stand up and turn to turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I don't know what page it's going to be in your Bible. It's 1237 in mine. When you find your place, say, I have it. How many people are sitting there saying, focus, focus, focus. I don't want to fall asleep this one. I know who you are. I know where to look anyway. Act like it. It's not like it's going to be your first time, right? Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto them, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That'll be our text for today. In this 26th chapter of Matthew, we see that Jesus had just eaten the Passover meal with his disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem. We call this the Last Supper. He had told his disciples that one of them would betray him, and we know that one to be Judas Iscariot. In this scene, we actually see that Jesus gave them the bread, and he blessed it. He gave them the cup, and he blessed it, and he said, drink you all of it, for this is the blood of my new covenant, knowing that he was symbolizing the blood covenant that he was getting ready to make. Verse 30 tells us that they sang hymns and they went out into the Mount of Olives. And understand, the Mount of Olives was a place where they would go. And there was an inner place in the Mount of Olives, a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. And as they were going to the Mount of Olives, Jesus had another discussion with his disciples. Verse 31, listen to this discussion. It's while they were on the way. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now, he spoke this to all of his disciples that were going with him. He said, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. What he was saying in translation is, all of you will fall away from me this night. All of you will stumble in your walk with me this night. He wasn't saying just Judas. He said, how many of you? And we see if we read later in the story, Verse 56, listen to what actually happened. A short little verse. Then all of them, all the disciples, forsook him and fled. Was Jesus right? Yes. Of course he was right. So we see that in our text today, he was actually instructing them what to do to keep them from falling away. Very important. In studying for this, I saw this phrase in here, and it stood out to me like it's never stood out to me before. And me, I can look back in my walk with the Lord, and I can say there have been times when I've fallen away from the Lord. Is there anyone else in here that can say there have been times when you've fallen away from the Lord? I can say that there are days where you actually fall away from the Lord. There are times and moments when you're involved in something in life and he's put over here and all of a sudden you realize your walk is not as close. Anybody experience that and battle against it? In this text, we're going to see something powerful that he gives us in instruction, because he knew that they were going to fall away, and so he gave them this command, this instruction, and it's so evident what he meant. Now you have to consider, these disciples would never have thought this of themselves. They had just eaten the Passover meal with Jesus. They had a moment with him. He gave them the bread. He gave them the cup. The bread being his body, the cup being his blood. They were so concerned. Think about it. They were so concerned even when he told them that one would betray him that they began to ask him, "Is it I? Is it I?" So do you think they ever in their wildest imagination after walking with Jesus just step by step for these 3.5 years, do you think they would have ever thought, "I'm going to fall away from him," or "I'm going to deny him," or "I'm going to turn away and be distracted from you"? Never. Well, then we see Peter's response in verses 33 through 35, and Peter always puts himself out there. Verses 33 through 35 of this same text, Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet I will never be offended," meaning I will never fall away. If anybody will fall away, I will never fall away. And Jesus said to him, "Verily I say unto you, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter said to him, "Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. There is no way, Lord, that this can happen. Look at me. I've been walking with you. I'm the man. I am your man. There is no way. I'm at church as much as I can be at church. I am praying to you. I am in your word. I'm doing all these things. You say, "Peter didn't say that." No, but that's what we think. There's no way. It says that all the disciples, after Peter said this, we always put it on Peter, but after Peter said this, the Bible tells us that all the disciples said the same thing. Verse 35, likewise, also said all the disciples. It can never happen. Is there any followers of Jesus in this room? Any disciples of Jesus in this room? Raise your hand if you are. Let me ask you. How many of us can confidently say that we would never deny Christ? We would never forsake him. How did this happen? How did these disciples do what they felt so confidently they would never do? And if they did this, do you realize we need to ask the question, could it happen to us too? Let's see the answer in the text. Verses 36 through 41 that we read, Jesus gave us, gave them the instruction on what we need to do to keep us from falling away. As they arrived at the place called Gethsemane, a place that they would go frequently, and we know this because in John's account, in John chapter 18, verse 2, it tells us that Judas knew where to find them because they went there frequently. Jesus told his disciples, "Sit here for a while I go over there and pray." And then he took Peter, James, and John a little further into the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I want to explain this to you. All the disciples went with him, and he said, "Stay here while I go a little farther." But then he took his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. That was his inner circle. These were his guys. He called them first, remember? And they had been with him. They walked with him. They had seen everything that was going on. You would think not only were the disciples close, this was his inner circle. Do you have an inner circle? Those people you trust the most? You know, I remember my dad telling me early on, you know, you had all these friends in school, you had all these acquaintances, you had everybody, you know, you've got all these different people, and you have a birthday party or you go to a birthday party, all your friends are there, and he's telling me something that I couldn't even get a grasp on. He said, you know, by the time that you're an older person, you'll probably only have the number of friends you can count on one hand that you really trust, that you really are confident. I couldn't even fathom that. This was his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. We see that in this passage, it tells us that Jesus' heart was heavy. He was sorrowful because he knew that he was preparing to have the sins of the world put upon him. He knew what he had to do. This sin that was going to go upon him was going to be a horrible thing. I want you to listen to how it describes just the attitude that Jesus had, the emotion that he had, what he was feeling at this time. It says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, verse 38, even unto death. Verse 37 says he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then he told them, I mean, his closest friends, his words, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Listen, guys, you don't know what's going on inside of me. This is like the time in my life where my heart is broken. I'm getting ready to give myself for the sins of the world. What was he thinking? I mean, we can't even fathom it. Here, Jesus, that never sinned, even the slightest temptation of sin, he had put away. But on that day, he was going to have the sins of the world put upon him. He was going to be guilty of not just Peter, James, and John's sin, but Brad and Tracy, and Brett, and Billy, and Curry. Gail, he was going to be guilty of your sins that day. Can you imagine the millions, the heaviness of that? But not just that. Think about it. This horrible thing that was going to happen to him was going to isolate him from God. You know, he's God the Son, but it was going to isolate him from God. You say, what do you mean it was going to isolate him from God? Well, if you've read the account of the cross, Matthew 27, 46, there was a time on the cross when Jesus had your sin and my sin and the world's sin, and God couldn't see through our sin to see him because he hadn't died for it yet. He was the sacrifice. And Jesus looked up and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, for the first time, Jesus knew his interaction with God was even going to be blocked by my sin and your sin. He was sorrowful. His heart was heavy. And the solitude of this time, along with the physical torment of suffering and shame that he would physically experience. See, the human side knew the same person that I'm going to go and die for is going to slap me in the face. The next one's going to spit right in my face. Then there'll be several that will continually beat me and mock me. The physical part of Jesus was sorrowful also. There was a physical and there was a spiritual. You see, if there was ever a time he needed his disciples, if there was ever a time he needed his inner circle, it was now. Right? Have you ever really been going through something and you just needed to call that person? Or you just needed, maybe it was your wife or husband and you just needed to tell them something. Hey, my heart is broken. I need to tell you this. I'm going through this. And you need that companionship. If ever there was a time that he wanted them, it was now. And I want you to hear what he told them in verse 38. He saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. even unto death. Tarry ye here. That means wait right here. You see, he was just going to go some steps further. He said, wait right here and watch with me. Do you see that? Watch with me. Watch with me. Say it with me.
Watch with me.
Tell the person beside of you.
Watch with me.
This verse, this phrase stood out so distinctly that I couldn't get past it. You see, for years and years, even in this story, if I were to recite this story without going back and going into detail, I would have told you that Jesus told them here to watch and pray, right? Because that's the way I've always learned it. And it does say that in verse 41. But he didn't say watch and pray first. You know what he said? Say it with me. Again. Watch with me. And I tried to wrap my mind around this. I knew God was leading in this direction. What was so significant about this phrase? And even when he comes back and finds him sleeping, he asked them, I've only been gone an hour. You couldn't watch with me an hour? It was still the same word. So what did he mean? Watch with me. You know, it was his one request. That's all he wanted them to do. Normally when we think, even in this, when he said, watch with me, we'll hear this phrase and we automatically think that Jesus was telling his disciples to watch out for the mob that was coming with Judas. You know, the Bible tells us later on in verse 47, it says that Judas came with a multitude of people with swords and staves. So is this what Jesus was telling the disciples to watch for? Remember all those that came, a multitude that came and found him in the garden? Was he saying watch for them? Evidently not, but because when they came to arrest him, he knew it. He actually said, hey, the one that's going to betray me is here. They're coming to take me in. Think about it. Even when Peter grabbed his sword to cut off Malchus's ear, he said, what are you doing? If I needed someone to save me, I could cry out to Father God, and he would send 12 legions of angels. A legion, 6,000. He would send 72,000 angels if I needed him, right? Pretty big deal. Jesus said, I don't need you to save me. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 19 that one angel killed 185,000 men. He said, I can call 72,000 angels. I don't need you to defend me. So what was he saying? I didn't need you to watch to make sure we could run before they came. We didn't need to get away. I knew this was going to happen. So take that out of your mind. That's not the watch he's talking about. But isn't that the watch that we would think? Because we know the rest of the story. So we're thinking, hey, these people were coming. So he's saying, watch for these people that are coming. No. He knew they were coming. He didn't try to run. He didn't try to get away. He wanted them to watch with him. So what did he mean? Watch with me. What Jesus wanted his disciples to do is be aware of what was going on. He needed them to be alert. He needed them to be attentive. He wanted their companionship at this time. He wanted them to see what was happening. He was in the process of giving his life as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. He wanted them to see how he felt. He wanted them to watch with him. He wanted them to be a part of what God was going to do that night. But all of them first slept, then they forsook him and fled. What was his one request to them? The Greek word that we see used here in this particular verse, when he says, watch, the Greek word is gregoria. It means to stay awake, to be vigilant. And Jesus wanted his disciples to stay awake with him and be attentive to what's happening. He wanted them to be awake, alert, aware of what was happening. He didn't want them to do what they did. He wanted them to do what he was doing. He wanted them to be praying, but he wanted them to understand, you're a part of this. Even though I'm going through this, you're a vital part of this. Watch with me. Do you get what I'm saying here? To watch with me is to go through it with me. When you're going through that thing and you go to that confidant, that person you have, and you share that with them, and then you're able to call them at a different time, what are you wanting them to do? Go through it with you, right? Go through it with me. Walk with me. I'm going to do all this for you. I've done all this for you. Just watch with me. We see in verse 40, when he came back after an hour of praying, he found them asleep, and he said to Peter, "You couldn't watch with me an hour?" I want you to listen to verse 41, at his instruction. "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak." And then in verses 42 through 46, Jesus went away to pray the second time, and he came back and he found them sleeping. We only read through verses 41, so read with me verses 42 through 46. The Bible says, "He went away again the second time, and he prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup not pass away from me, except I drink it, then thy will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, 'Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me.'" When he came the second time and found them sleeping, were they watching or sleeping? What did he ask them to do? You know, he didn't say anything to them the second time. He just let them sleep, and he went and prayed the third time, and he came back and found them sleeping. Verse 45, he says, "Sleep on now and take your rest." And you have to understand, written in the King James, it doesn't mean what you think it means. It actually means that he's saying, "Are you still sleeping and resting?" He's not telling them to continue on. He said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? The hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed." That's why he says at the end of that, "Rise." He wasn't telling them to keep sleeping. He was telling them to get up. He said, "So you're still sleeping." I want you to imagine now, and this is what I begin to think, what Jesus must have been feeling. He was about to be apprehended by the Jewish rulers, suffer at their hands, be mocked, be disowned by the Jewish crowds that he had spent most of his ministry going through and healing. He was about to die for their sin, not his own. He was going to die for the sins of those that were doing this to him. But they couldn't even stay awake with him at this time. Do you think this is the time that he needed them the most? Can you understand his phrase at this point? This simple phrase, "Watch with me." I want to make sure we've got that in our mind. He's just wanting them to be a part of what's going on. But they were sleepy. I didn't really plan out this message with daylight savings time. It's just that God worked it out this way. You see, they couldn't really see what was going to happen. But it was stated by Jesus to them that "My heart's exceedingly sorrowful." It was going to be tough what was going to happen, but it was going to change the world. What's interesting here is before he went to pray, and this is what struck me, and I thought, man, this is good. Before he went to pray, he told them, "Watch with me." And then when he came back and found them sleeping, he said to Peter, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" So all he was talking about was watching, right? It's interesting to me that the next command that he gave to them was not a command for them to be alert and attentive to what he was doing. It was a command for them to be alert and attentive to what they were doing. Now, I want you to grab a hold of this because it struck me and I thought, you know, I've never seen it this way. Those first commands, "Watch with me." What does that mean? Be awake, be involved, be attentive. Come with me, work with me, live with me, go through this with me, experience this. This is a great thing, but it's a hard thing. Watch with me. But in verse 41, when he came back and saw that they couldn't even stay awake, because that's the time he said, "You couldn't even watch with me 1 hour." Listen to verse 41. Watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. You see, this time, he wasn't telling them to watch so much what he was doing. He was telling them to pay attention to what you're doing. And this is big. You see, this was a call for his disciples to be spiritually awake, spiritually attentive, spiritually vigilant, so that they wouldn't be tempted to sin. And when we read this, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation, even in the way it's written, it's watch and pray, period, or comma, so that you will not enter into temptation. You need to do these things so that you will not be tempted and then yield to the temptation. All of us are going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. If you're a Christian and you say, hey, I'm walking with God so that I'm not tempted by this, well, then you're not alive. If you're alive, you're tempted. It's giving in to the temptation that becomes sin. Jesus never sinned, but yet he was tempted. We're tempted by things in our flesh and mind that we want. The devil knows that, and so he puts those out there. So he says, watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation, meaning so that you don't give in to it. Why? Because your flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This comes at a time when he just woke them up, right? Startled them. You know how somebody acts when they get up? You know, it takes me back, and my kids say that I wake them up differently than Angie does. First of all, let me say, I'm a parent that believes that you need to teach the kids to wake up on their own at some point in time. You don't still need to be waking them up right before their years prior to going and getting a job and having to get up themselves. But at first, you wake them up. But Angie would go and wake them up and say, honey, it's time to get up. You want to get up. It's getting that time. Boy, that's good sleeping conversation right there, isn't it? That just makes you want to, oh, yeah, I'll get up in just a minute. And she's always like, they're not getting up for me. I was like, well, you're suggesting it. You're suggesting with this nice little furry little voice that's in there that's telling them, hey, it's morning time. Let's get up and let's just turn over and I'm going to make you this or that. So it's a suggestion, right? And my way was different. It was embrace the day. You're still sleeping? It's time to get up. Let's go. Let's go. Feet hitting the floor. Let's go. Get up. Get up. And then it's just like, you know, let me get everything together. I want you to see these disciples. These disciples were getting it together because Jesus woke them up. And he said, you couldn't watch with me an hour. He said, watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. You see, our flesh is weak. It is drawn to temptation. Jesus was telling them that they need to be spiritually attentive. That's how they could identify temptation and avoid it. Do you realize if you're not spiritually attentive, you won't identify temptation? If you start getting interested in something else and you're not watching with Jesus, you'll be spiritually unattentive. I have people all the time that come and explain to me this great opportunity in their life, and basically I can see that's going to take you away from the Lord. That's going to separate you from God. That's going to put this in here. But they don't see it. They just don't see it. They're not attentive to it. They're not seeing the temptation is right here. Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. They don't see it. Have you ever tried to explain that to somebody that was telling you something and it just didn't make spiritual sense to you, and you were trying to explain to them, hey, listen, you're getting ready to mess up. Has anybody ever tried to help somebody? But they were They weren't watching with Jesus right then. They were watching to fulfill their own needs, their fleshly needs. And then prayer. Prayer is communication with God, which will keep us focused on the spiritual because we're communing with God. These disciples were sleeping because they were physically tired. We get that. But also because they were not seeing how important this time was in their lives, in the life of Jesus. You see, you don't go to sleep if you're actively doing something important that you're interested in. I think Jesus had been awake the same amount that they had, right? But what he was doing and had on his mind was important. You think, I ask you that question for a reason. Have you ever been watching that movie and you knew you needed to go to sleep and you said, I have to cut it off or turn it so that I can get my sleep? It's because you knew that you wouldn't sleep if you were interested. When Oakley said, I've never went to sleep while I'm standing at bat. Well, why? Well, he's focused, right? Can I tell you what watch with me means? It means stay focused. Pay attention. Be alert. Don't sleep. Now, he's not telling you not to physically sleep. And everybody needs sleep. So that's not the point. The point is, Jesus is saying, I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. Could you not even stay awake, spiritually awake, for an hour? Your flesh is weak. It'll want sleep, but it'll want all kind of other things too. It'll want pleasure. It'll want gain, financial gain, material possessions. It'll want acclaim. It'll want prideful things, won't it? That's what Jesus was saying. Watch with me, watch with me. You know, he really wanted them to be a part of this important time and event. He really wanted them to be a part of what he was doing. He wanted them to see how important it was. And then he wanted to see their interest and their attention. And I fear today, in a day where you're trying to convince people, and I know I spend a lot of time talking about faithfulness, but when you're trying to convince people to be faithful to come to church, when you're trying to convince people that it would be important for your kids to see you have a string of three or four services in a row when you were here and there wasn't something else in life that you had to do, when you're trying to convince somebody, they're not really watching with Jesus. I've been that person before. I've been that person that went to sleep on him. Anybody else in here? And for good reason, I thought. I mean, just life. Things in life. I mean, you talk about job and family and responsibilities and things that I want to give to them and all these things, but I was supposed to be watching with him. You see, when he saves you, he calls you to watch with him. He calls you to go through this with him. The body of Christ, that's what we're called, right? You know why we're the body of Christ? Because his body is gone. Our body, the saved believers, represent his body. We're his hands, his feet, his arms. We're his actions. Watch with me. You see, Jesus ascended into heaven and he said, I'm coming back. While I've got you here, guess what your one job is? Somebody tell me. Watch with me. Be attentive to what's going on. The first thing that he wants us to be attentive to is everything that he's doing in our everyday life. Sometimes we miss what God is doing because we're so attentive to what we're doing, aren't we? The psalmist says in Psalms 130, verse 6, listen to this. The psalmist says, 130, verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they which watch for the morning. And he said it again, more than they which watch for the morning. You know what he's saying? My soul is on constant alert. What's the Lord doing? What's he going to say? When's he going to show up? How's he orchestrating this? You ever saw that? You ever been with that person that all of a sudden you see something bad and they're saying, well, you know what? The Lord's probably trying to do this and this. I know when he did this. That person is trying to let you know God's working and they're watching for the Lord. But sometimes we don't see it, right? All we can see is, I can't believe this happened. I don't know why. You know, this is disappointing. What's happened when we get like that? We quit watching for the Lord. He wants us to see what he's doing in our everyday life. He wants us to anticipate each day, like the psalmist did, as a day in the life that we have to see him work and use us in his plan. What's God going to do with me today? As soon as my feet hit the floor, what'd you tell me, Jim, in the morning? As soon as your feet hit the floor, it's what God wants you to do that day, right? God, help us all to embrace each day watching like we're waiting for the sun to come up.
Yes.
He wants us to diligently, attentively be watching for his companionship, his presence. I don't have to walk through any day alone. I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. Amen. He wants us to be watching for his mighty works, the signs of his orchestration and everyday life events that happens. He wants us to be aware that this day is an important day because he has made it and he has a purpose for us. He wants us to go through this day with him. He doesn't want us to be distracted in life by the physical things so that we go to sleep spiritually. He says, what? Watch with me. Simple phrase. I never saw it before. I'd always put it with watch and pray. He was clearly saying, I need you. He also wants us to be watching for his return. How many people know Jesus is coming back? How many times do we get distracted in life and it doesn't become even a thought to us until the preacher mentions it? It's a wonderful thing, but I will tell you the bad thing about Jesus coming back. You say there's nothing bad about Jesus coming back. Well, I think there is. You say, oh, I can't believe you're preaching this. I'm going to be honest with you. Jesus coming back is going to end our ministry here, and that is when we'll stand and give an account. There's no more sermons to be preached after Jesus comes back from me. There's no more to be preached from you. There's no more people that you'll witness to. There's no more opportunities that you'll have to build his kingdom. There's no more time that you'll have to focus on him. There's no more time. You say, well, we'll be with him. Exactly. And if you're just concerned about you, then rejoice in that. But I'm concerned about the people around me that he gave me an opportunity to minister to. And the sad thing about that day, even though I don't want to spin it as something sad, there's no more witnessing from us Christians after that time. There's no more preaching. So, well, how should I think about it? Well, I should be watching with him now. Watch with me now. Watch with me. We need to be attentive for every opportunity of every day to work for the Lord and to work with the Lord. He says, watch with me. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 13. You don't have to turn too far. There's a passage here, and I want you to notice this is not the only time that Jesus used this word, and we're not near going to go over all the different times and references to watch. In preparing for this message, I almost think it's comical, but it's just... It is what it is. I've got 7 pages of written notes up there that didn't even make the sermon. On watch. On just what it means to watch. But understand that our palate can only hold so much and we only have a certain span of attention to be able to take what he says in. And I have people reminding me of that all the time, and I know it's true. But you understand, he gives you a broader sense of this, and he says in Mark 13, pretty big deal here, just listen to these verses, 31 through 37. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The things that you're seeing right now are going to pass away, but what he's saying, what Jesus is doing, what he speaks is never going to pass away. But of that day and that hour, no man knoweth. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to what? Tell me again. What did he command him to do? Now verse 35, watch ye therefore, because you know not when the master of the house cometh. At even, that means evening, or at midnight, or in the morning, the cock crowing in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you, what? Sleeping. Now I say unto you, I say unto all. Tell me. Did you ever know that Jesus was this intentional with this word before? What a command. And he's talking about when the Lord comes back. And he's saying, you don't know when it's going to be. Be watching. He's telling us to watch in an offensive manner. You say offensive, offensive manner. I know 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, Peter puts it this way. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. That means say a watchful prayer. Meaning, I'm ready and willing and able. I'm here. Lord, what will you have me do today? I know you could come back today. So what is it today? But how many of us are distracted? We're in the garden and we're sleepy. We're spiritually sleepy. We're distracted by this and that. Has it happened to anybody else?
Yes, sir.
And we're going to miss an opportunity. And he paints the picture of, well, the master goes on a journey. And Jesus has went on a journey, hadn't he? He ascended up into heaven. He said, don't stand here gazing. The same manner that you saw him go. He's going to come again. And Jesus is coming again. He left us here. But if we keep thinking, well, we heard that it was going to be then, it hasn't come yet. We heard that it was going to be now, it hasn't come yet. I don't know when it's going to come. And we put it out of our mind. Guess what? We're sleeping on Jesus. We're not watching. We're not attentive. Because I can tell you for a fact, if we thought he was coming back today, you wouldn't have room. People would be crawling over each other at this altar. You'd have to chain the doors for people coming in to make their heart right with God. You would have to be able to get more room in here. You would have people standing outside. If people really thought he was coming back, there's no way that you would have even thought about missing today or tonight or any time you had. There's no way. You know, I get the pleasure of being with people that get a diagnosis from the doctor that says, hey, this is happening here and this is bad. You say the pleasure, yes. Best conversation you can ever have with somebody is somebody that has been given news that they may not have much time. You say, I cannot believe you. You are crazy. I'm not saying that it's good in a way of life. I'm saying listen to that person because that person has their priorities in order. A Christian person that knows they're going to meet the Lord, there's a sense of peace with them, a happiness with them, looking forward to that, right? Yeah. There's a sense of just knowing, hey, today if he's giving me another day, I'll do it for him. I'll watch with him, right? Because it might be my last day. How many of us have lost that edge? How many of us are sleeping in the garden? Distracted by the normal things of life, you say, well, everybody's got to sleep. Right, that's why I use that example. But you don't sleep when you're doing something you're interested in.
That's right.
You see, it's as if he's telling us to watch in an offensive manner. We need to pay attention like when we're fishing or hunting. You know, people that fish and hunt, or maybe they're playing a sport. And I tell you what, you talk about the preparation for that offensively. I'm going to pick my spot. I'm going to scout the land. I'm going to see what bait. I'm going to clothe myself. I'm going to hide my smell. Now, this is the technique. And man, they sit out, watch for any sign. Well, I see this coming. I see this, whether it's hunting. I see this and look at that sign. And here's where I'm going to set up at, whether it's fishing. I'm watching the birds. The birds are on the bait. And I'm doing, man, they're offensive, right? That's the way he wants us to watch. Watch for him. Watch for the details of Jesus. Watch for him working in your life. Watch for him working in the person's life beside of you. Watch for the opportunity for the person that he's put around you to be able to minister to them. But then also, he doesn't want us to just watch for him. When he told them in verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, he's wanting us to watch for the enemy also. The Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What is he saying? Be sober, be vigilant, be alert, be vigilant. Isn't that the definition they gave us for watch?
Yes.
Watch out for him. I see this could hurt me. I see this could hurt my walk. Hold on. I see this could hurt my testimony. Before I'm typing this in on Facebook because it's going to make me sound good or I'm going to give my opinion, I see this could hurt me. Before I put that picture out there that shows me doing something that I shouldn't be doing, I know it's going to hurt my testimony. Watch out. What is his job? To steal, kill, and destroy you. He wants to devour you. If you knew there was something that was trying to threaten you, would you not watch out? This command is huge, isn't it?
Amen.
Watch with me. Watch with me. I tell you what. I simplified God's call in my life down to one phrase. That's amazing. Mike, what do you want me to do? What's God want me to do? He wants you to watch with him. What's Jesus' command? Watch with me. Go through this with me. Right? Watch for opportunities I give you. Watch for even the bad things where you can see me and watch for opportunities to witness, but watch out for temptations. Don't sleep. You couldn't even watch with me this 1 hour? No, Lord. I couldn't hold my eyes open. I wasn't interested enough. I just wasn't interested enough. Oh, no, we wouldn't say that. We don't have to. We've all shared our nature, haven't we?
That's right.
The disciples didn't watch with him. They slept. They slept even after they were told again to watch. But yet these men were as close to Jesus as anybody ever has been. For me to say that I'm so close to him that I can't fall away from him, it would be presumptive. What I need to do is focus on watching. Do you think that they had just gotten to the point of thinking that Jesus would do everything that needed to be done? I had this thought too. They rested in the security that no matter what, Jesus was going to take care of it. We'll just stay right here. He's got it, right? You ever get like that as a Christian? Hey, God's got this. I hear that all the time. God's got this. And I believe he does. But you're not a bystander.
That's right.
He's got it. But your prayer doesn't come floating down in a red balloon as an answer. What does he say you need to do? Watch with me. Yes, he's got it. I think these disciples got so confident that Jesus, he's going to handle it. He's gone over there. He's going to talk to God and everything's going to be fine. Well, that's not what he said. He said, watch with me. Right? Sometimes we get that attitude, don't we? I'm going to go on with life and I know God will work it out. God's not going to work it out if you're not watching with him. If you're not watching with him, you won't see it when he does. Can you say that if Jesus walked up to you today, he would find you watching with him, or would he find you sleeping? The Savior of the world, the King of glory, has a request for all those who've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ that sums up everything that he wants us to do in this life as a Christian. And that phrase is, watch with me. And I know today, this message has been for believers. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ went to that cross and He died for you if you're not a believer. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He wants you to be a part of what He has done and what He will do. He died for you. He took your sin because we can't come into the presence of God with our sin. Jesus paid the price for it. So there has to be a time in your life when you realize that and you accept Jesus as your Savior and your Lord and you say, basically, Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You're my only way to God. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that You can forgive my sins. Come into my heart and save me, and I will watch with You for the rest of my life. Christian, did that happen to you?
Yes.
Are you watching with Him? Come and talk to Him today. Make sure that when you leave here, if He's spoken to you, that you responded. Father God, I love You and I praise You and I thank You for this day. I thank You, God, for Your message, and I pray, God, that You would speak to hearts all over this room this morning. Those that are listening to the broadcast, I pray, God, that You would just find us where we're at. Let us be able to see You, but let us be able to see our lives also. I pray, God, that You would change lives today and that, Lord, commitments are made to You. I pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.